He watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you want straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka. It's July 28th. Welcome to the show. Scott White's on vacation, so it's a big week for Big Herc.
Yeah.
Oh, you can do a little better than that.
Yeah.
There we go. Happy Monday. Good morning, Michael Hercom.
Adam, I have to bring up something before we get into the podcast.
All right.
All right. So, you know, a common back injury in baseball is a strained lat.
Uh-huh.
Like James Paxton's coming back from a strained lat.
Yeah.
Okay, we say lat, right? So why is it Matt Latos when it looks like Matt Latos?
For you, it's Matt Latos.
Right? What, you see, but there's good reasoning here, right? If we say it lat, shouldn't be there's no Y in his last name, but we say it like there's a Y.
No, I just don't really agree with you there.
This is the Herc reasoning.
You know the philosopher, P-L-A-T-O?
Yes.
What was his name?
Plato.
Exactly.
So is it Matt Latos Greek then?
He might be. I have no idea. Okay.
All right.
Enough of that
nonsense. We got that out of the way,
yeah,
right?
Thank you for that, Mike. Good stuff. Follow us on Twitter at, what are you, CBS Herc?
Yes, that is correct.
H-U-R-C. I'm at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, at CBS Scott White, at Al Melk, CBS, M-E-L-C, and at CBS Fantasy BB. Going to have John Heyman on our video show at noon Eastern time. Watch it live, fantasynews.cbssports.com. Today, most added, most dropped, weekend roundup. Jake Peavy on the move. A.J. Pierzynski signed. Cliff Lee. Oh, not good. Carlos Santana homered five times over the weekend at Kansas City. And the Hall of Fame inductions took place.
That is true. But I can't believe you didn't know my Twitter handle. I mean, how many times
did you
see
it? I knew it. I just wasn't sure. And I went to a baseball game this weekend.
How was it?
Went to Yankee Stadium and saw Derek Jeter in his final season, and it was fun.
Yeah.
And Drew Hutchison pitched fairly well.
Okay. So you were at the same game as Troy Tulowitzki?
No. I had his same seat.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Actually, my seats were so bad I couldn't really tell what was going on. Boston traded Jake Peavy to San Francisco for two minor league pitchers, Heath Hembree and Edwin Escobar. And, you know, Peavy, my first thought was, who's he going to replace in the rotation? And then you find out that they're really worried about Matt Cain. He's been pitching with bone chips in his elbow for years now, but his elbow's really acting up. So looks like it could be a while for Cain. But in the meantime, Jake Peavy, who did start last night against the Los Angeles Dodgers and was decent, I guess, struggled with a couple of wild pitches. Do you think his value changes at all? Are you interested in PV's 49% own?
I think he's going to see a little bump in value for the fact, you know, we were talking last week how a lot of pitchers, when they go from the AL to the NL, their ERA comes down. Jason Hamill, Jake Arrieta are two prime examples. And they went to the same team. And look at Hamill now. He's struggling now. He's back in the AL. And PV goes to a contender. So that's going to help for wins. But like I said on a radio show I did Saturday, maybe in points leagues, I'm a little more intrigued for the win factor. In roto leagues, I'm still worried about the ERA and WHIP just being a little bit high for him. He hasn't been pitching very well this season, so no. I don't know how if this trade is going to make a huge impact.
Do you know what his record is?
It's probably like 4-9, right?
He wishes. It's 1-10.
Oh,
that's just bad luck.
Yeah,
I mean you have to be so bad to deserve a 1-10 record. He hasn't been good, but he hasn't been that bad. A.J. Pierzynski signed by the Cardinals. Had a nice little weekend for them.
He did.
Aaron Sibbia or Pierzynski?
That's a good one. I'm going to go with Pierzynski because Aaron Sibbia is still not hitting for average. He gets one hit of the game maybe, and if you're lucky, it's a home run.
Yep. Pierzynski or Wellington Castillo?
We haven't heard a lot from Wellington in a while, so this might be I think I do have Castillo higher in my rankings, so for now I'll go with Castillo.
Edwin Encarnacion suffered a minor setback in his recovery from a quad injury. Does not look like we'll see Encarnacion this week. And Cleveland sent Josh Tomlin to AAA. Does that mean Salazar stays up?
Yeah, I mean, he's been pitching pretty good. His strikeout rate's been there, so Absolutely.
Salazar's 59% owned, and Herc, that needs to be higher.
Yeah, I'm getting to that point, because if I'm a Clay Buchholz fan, I have to be a Danny Salazar fan. Because Clay Buchholz has been up and down, but you know, I'm touting him as a guy you need to own, so Danny Salazar's got to be a guy you own then.
I mean, I feel like Danny Salazar should be about 100% owned.
You listen to Al Melchior too much.
Well,
he's not going to win you a fantasy championship.
Why not?
Just for the fact that I'm a little bit concerned about his walk rate. I mean, he's still giving up hits. His strikeout rate is what, you know, fantasy owners are like really amped up about, and I get that. But if he's not holding guys to, let's say, five hits in one run a game, I mean, he's not a...
One run? It doesn't have to be one. Yesterday's start was fine. I mean, seven innings, seven hits, three earned runs, no walks, seven strikeouts.
Yeah. And if we get that, sure, but I don't think he's going to do that every time out.
He's not going to give up no walks. All right, what do you think his ERA will be rest of season?
Rest of season? I'll give him maybe like a 3.8 to 4 range.
Okay. So I was hoping for more like a 3.50. But you're going to probably get better than a strikeout per inning.
Yeah, that way he's going, absolutely.
Well, I grouped him with a few other pitchers. Jacob DeGrom, he's been unbelievable. Salazar. And Jimmy Nelson, I guess. That was the three I looked at here. They pitched over the weekend. They're owned in 79, 59, and 42% of leagues, respectively. DeGrom, Salazar, Nelson. How would you rank those three?
I would go Salazar, DeGrom, and Nelson.
So that brings us to... Oh, wait a second. So you like Salazar better than both those other two?
Yeah, the thing with DeGrom is if you look at the last two scoring periods he's pitched in, he's had over 50 fantasy points. That's not Jacob DeGrom. I mean, that would put him against the Felix Hernandez, Adam Wainwright group, and we know he's not that good of a pitcher. This is a big test for him coming up. His next start's against the Giants. It's at home, but that's a team, a contender, a top contender. He did face Seattle in his recent stretch and Atlanta a few times, but I think the Giants are going to be a really good test. Listen, this kid struck out four. DeGrom struck out four batters yesterday against Milwaukee. That's what you should suspect from him, not the guy who's striking out 8, 9, 11.
That's
batters,
fine, though.
You know?
I mean, he's still pitching really well.
He is.
Six and a third scoreless, four hits.
But his ERA, like when he was in the minors, was in the mid-threes. It wasn't below
PCL.
Three. Yeah, but even before that, it wasn't below three all the time. I mean, he's not an ace pitcher. He's more of a backup rotation guy.
I'm not saying he's an ace pitcher,
right.
but saying
Salazar has more potential than DeGrom.
Yeah.
So that's why I went Salazar over DeGrom.
And Nelson?
Nelson, I'm on the fence for the fact that, you know, that's a tight race in the NL Central, and hey, you know, they could be there and the wins could be there. They need to get healthy a little bit, I think, you know, the Brewers, and hopefully Ryan Braun returns to, you know, his status. Yeah, I just, right now, Nelson pitched really well in the minors, and he's been okay since he's been up. He's a rookie, and not all rookies come up and dominate.
Yeah. All right, then. That brings us to our tweet of the day. It's from Goat Simulator. I don't know what that is.
Neither do I.
I'm interested. Goat Simulator says, I am just one waiver wire pitcher away from being a championship team. Anyone special emerging from the minors or elsewhere?
All right, I got a few names here. We'll start with the minors. One of the more intriguing names is Noah Syndergaard. You know, Terry Collins said he didn't think he would be up this season, but then a report came out last week saying if the Mets trade Bartolo Colon, Syndergaard would be the perfect option to jump in. And that was before Matsuzaka hurt his elbow. So now Matsuzaka's elbow is hurting, and if they trade Colon, I mean, here comes Noah Syndergaard, who's been pitching a lot better at AAA Las Vegas. Three of his last four starts, one or no runs. So he's starting to come around. Another guy, you know, you've heard this name too for a while. Al's been touting him. When's Trevor May coming up?
Yeah.
Twins are in selling mode. Hey, you know, he may get a month and a half. He may stay until the end of the minor league season at AAA. This is like a Kyle Gibson situation again. When Kyle Gibson was pitching really good at AAA Rochester, the Twins just were really hesitant to bring him up. So maybe if you stash Trevor May, maybe the last month will be really good for you. And then three names that fantasy owners that can help maybe in the more immediate future. Matt Shoemaker.
Yeah.
I mean, he pitches on a contender. He did really well against the Tigers over the weekend. That was a good lineup he faced, too.
Yeah, and he strikes out a ton of batters.
Yeah, I mean, his ERA and WHIP are a little bit high. But he's a guy that maybe in two start weeks or when he's got a real favorable matchup, you slot in at the back of your rotation. James Paxton, coming back from a strained lat finally. Do you remember how good he was at the beginning of the season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you weren't on the podcast back in those days, but I said that I fell in love with James Paxton. That kid is nasty, and we barely got to see anything from him.
And you'll like this. They compared him to being like the next Andy Pettit. And how good was Andy Pettit for fantasy owners?
He was good, but I think Paxton should be able to strike out more batters.
I agree with
than
that
Andy
too.
Andy Pettit, and he's 60% owned. So would you rather have Paxton or DeGrom?
Paxton. I'm a huge Paxton. I've never really moved Paxton that low in my rankings, even when he was hurt.
I can't believe he's been out this long. By
yeah,
the way.
That's been a shame.
All right, Shoemaker or Jimmy Nelson?
Shoemaker.
Really? Paxton or Salazar?
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. I'll go Danny Salazar. I'm starting to warm up to Danny Salazar as being a viable option. And one more name I just want to throw out for you, because this one I totally forgot about until I did radio over the weekend. Michael Pineda.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I
don't know when it's happening.
Yeah, I really wasn't that high on him, but then I went back and looked at his production, and he was good for fantasy owners before he went on the DL.
Truthfully, he was great until they found Pine Tar.
Yes,
and
I mentioned that.
He wasn't really that
yes.
good. Like, immediately after he got caught the first time, he struggled. And then the second time was horrible. Or the second time he got thrown out.
I thought so, too.
But he had a terrible start.
If you look at his earned runs, he didn't give up many earned runs,
because he pitched, like, two innings.
Right, and his strikeout rate went down. And those are my concerns. And he's coming back from a pretty serious injury, which is a huge concern of mine as well. But this guy is looking for a pitcher that can help him win a championship.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
who's
yeah.
to say that he, you know, can't do that?
That's totally fair. Yeah. Kyle Hendricks, what about him? 8% owned.
Yeah, this guy, you know, kind of flew under the radar, had a low whip in the minors. The best thing he does is he's got good control. Now, he did walk 3 batters in each of his first 2 starts, but in his last start, he walked 0 batters. Even though he took the loss, that's Kyle Hendricks. Very good control pitcher. The only concern is the wins. He may not get a lot of wins, and that could hurt his fantasy value, but I'm starting to, again, warm up to the idea that Kyle Hendricks could help a lot of fantasy owners.
Right, and that guy's widely available right now pitching for the Cubs. Mm-hmm. He has made 3 starts. His first one wasn't so good, but almost all that damage he gave up in that first start was in the first inning. And in the minors, you know, he only struck out 2 batters yesterday, Hendricks, in 6 1/3, but in the minors, 97 strikeouts in 102 2/3, pitching in the PCL this season with a 3.59 ERA. So those are some options if you want to go out and get someone off waivers to help your pitching staff make it happen. Carlos Santana homered 5 times over the weekend. He's now the number 2 catcher in fantasy with a .232 batting average in both formats.
Strumming his way to the top? No,
Carlos Santana,
good.
Very good, very good. I don't know, Lucroy's still got a bit of an edge on him there, more than a bit.
Sure.
But that was a crazy weekend for him.
Very encouraging.
Carlos Beltran and Billy Butler. 71% owned Beltran, 57% owned Butler. Do you think these guys could be primed for big finishes?
Beltran, if his elbow holds up, it's interesting. Did you hear Joe Girardi says he's getting closer to playing in the outfield? Why would they want to mess with that if he's starting to come around offensively at DH?
I think he'd rather play the outfield.
I think he'd rather too, but if he has a setback with his elbow, how is he going to help the Yankees down the stretch?
No, they're not going to do it unless they feel like he can stay healthy.
Sure, but it sounds like Joe Girardi saying it's happening, it's coming. You know, be prepared.
It sounds like they're optimistic about it. Yeah,
yeah.
So that is good news.
And for Billy Butler, you know, it looks like the whole benching thing got him kind of like fired up, and they've afforded him a few extra at bats this weekend because of Eric Hosmer's injury.
Yeah.
I'm just not so sure. I was high on Billy Butler a month and a half ago when he was getting on a hot streak, and then he went back and so.
Well, you know what he has now that he didn't have before?
What does he have now?
First base eligibility.
He does. He does.
So that does help. Gives you some flexibility to move him around in your lineup. And you know who the most added player in fantasy is?
Who is the most added player, Adam?
Josh Rutledge. 39% owned now. He hit .357 last week with no homers, but 7 RBI. No walks, 8 strikeouts. And they've got nothing but road games this week, but he's actually been better on the road this year.
I think Scott has him as a sit this week, though.
He does, I believe.
Yes.
I think they have tough matchups. But what do you think about Rutledge?
You know, you and I had this conversation. We used to own him in the podcast league, and that's when I thought he was returning to his previous glory because he had good numbers in the minors, and he's got a pretty good slash line.
Great.
While he's been up to the minors. Yeah. Maybe this is like the Corey Dickerson where, you know, Corey Dickerson started well, then he faded off, and we thought it was the end of Dickerson, and then he just kept going and going and going. You know, he kind of returned. Yeah. Maybe Rutledge is on that same path. We don't know when Tulo's coming back, so he's going to be in the lineup for at least the next few weeks. It's Colorado. Maybe he's just a guy in deeper formats you stash on your bench for favorable matchups and when they're at home. His production last week was kind of ridiculous.
Well, I think one comparison, you know, you said, who did you say? Who did you compare him to? Oh, Corey Dickerson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe he's Todd Frazier or I'm trying to think. Basically, he had a good rookie year.
Yes.
274, yep. 306, 469. And then Rutledge was terrible last season.
Yeah.
And so we probably discounted him. But now he's putting up numbers that look a lot more like his rookie season. They're even better this year. But maybe we threw it out too early, you know, threw out the possibility of him being really good too early. My other concern is that, like, I feel like Rutledge is the kind of guy, the more playing time he gets, the worse his production gets. You know, mm-hmm. he can do it in spurts,
yes,
but not sustain it, which I think is what we saw when we owned him in our
yep.
in our categories league, which is why we weren't so bullish about adding him this time around. But anyway, Rutledge is the most added player. Would you rather have Rutledge or Solarte?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'll go Solarte.
Solarte off to a great start with the Padres. Solarte is batting .333 with a home run and 5 RBI in 5 games.
What about the second guy on this list? That's your boy now.
Who's that?
Chase Headley.
Is he the second most added player?
Yes. I mean, listen, that stadium, I mean, you saw his home run. And actually, it wasn't even to right field his home run yesterday. He hit it to left field, and he was batting right-handed.
Right.
I mean, the fact that he switched his grip, and now he's on a contending team, I mean, that's good. Fantasy owners are being smart here by adding him.
Well, the thing, though, the one thing that you could say negatively about him right now, this is an unbelievable stat. He's batting .330, Chase Headley, in July with a .489 slugging percentage, 2 homers, no walks, 23 strikeouts.
Yeah, that is a concern, obviously.
So I just can't buy it that much.
He helped you win in the 16-team league last week.
Did we start him?
Oh, you did it. That's right. But your team was so good last week, it didn't matter.
Yeah, that team's awesome.
Yeah.
Without Encarnacion. Must add guys, like right now. You went to your waiver wire to pick up who over the weekend?
I really didn't. I think maybe one of the more intriguing ads. Well, you know, Lucas Duda is obviously a must add, and he's still unowned in 18% of fantasy leagues. So he's a guy, if he's out there, I'd add him. Austin Jackson, I added. He's still unowned in 14% of fantasy leagues. Chris Carter of the Astros.
No.
Not a must add, but if your league only penalizes half a point for a strikeout, his power has been enough in recent weeks that he's put up fairly decent production because of his power, even with the high strikeout.
You can have him, bro.
But it was an AL-only league, so it wasn't a mixed league.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, then you definitely can have him in that league. All right, let's go to the injuries, news, and notes, part one. Gerrit Cole scheduled for 2 rehab starts this week, so he could be back next week. Will Myers could be back in mid-August. It's almost August!
Yeah.
Justin Masterson expected to start Friday. Carlos Gonzalez did not start Sunday. He did pinch hit. He has an ankle injury. Starter sit cargo.
I'll go start.
Drew Stubbs, on the other hand, did not play Sunday. He also has an ankle injury, so he might be a little risky.
And they're on the road, so bench.
Yeah, good call. That guy is a big-time home-road split guy. Much better at home, Stubbs. James Paxton will pitch this week, it looks like. Phil Hughes expects to make his next start. Kyle Gibson, same thing.
Oh, they will make it. They've both been cleared.
Okay.
And it's Gibson Tuesday, Hughes Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah. Carlos Quentin on the DL, or he will be later in the day, with a knee injury. Surprise, surprise. And Jed Jerko will be activated. Big finish from Jerko?
I'm not counting on it.
Is he a guy that could win you a fantasy league? You don't think so?
Second base is so deep. I mean, are you really going to go cut your second baseman right now to go pick up Jerko?
No, but he's 40% owned, so he actually might be available in roto leagues where you're looking for a corner or a middle infielder.
Sure. Again, if it doesn't cost you a lot, absolutely, because he's got that potential. But Who's his line of protection?
All right, fine. Let me ask you
RBI
this.
Production. I mean, it's...
We just got Solarte now.
Okay.
Would you rather have Colton Wong or Jed Jerko?
Wong.
Scooter Jeanette or Jerko?
Jeanette.
Really? So Jerko's pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think he's worth taking a shot on if you can afford it.
Sure. Not if in the right situation, absolutely. But he wasn't that good before he went on the DL, and I'm just not convinced he's going to be that good finishing up the season.
He was probably playing hurt. He had plantar fasciitis. It's a pretty bad injury. I don't know how healthy he's going to be when he comes back today, but...
Who's he going to drive in?
Solarte. Well, Seth Smith's had a good year.
Yeah, but I mean, how many runs do the Padres score in a game? Every time a pitcher faces them, you want your pitcher in there?
Yeah, yeah.
Shelby Miller's facing, I believe, the Padres this week. You're starting Shelby Miller,
no.
Wouldn't you?
No? No.
He pitched pretty well his last time out.
The Padres are hitting a little bit better lately.
True.
So I don't know if this is the best week to face the Padres, and Miller, so unreliable. Come on.
I'm starting him. I'm taking that gamble.
Ian Kennedy is going to have a start skip due to an oblique strain. Jason Lane will be called up to start today against Atlanta. Kennedy is expected to start this weekend, but I think it's too risky. With
an
oblique?
Agreed.
You never know with those
yep.
things. Coco Crisp was out Sunday with a neck injury, and he's going to be evaluated, and he's been dealing with this all season.
Do you remember on the second half predictions, ours was Coco Crisp will go on the DL at some point?
Was that one of yours?
Yes.
MLB.com reports that Pittsburgh is interested in LaTroy Hawkins.
I knew it.
I would really hope that's not as a closer.
No, but I knew teams would start ratcheting up their interest of LaTroy Hawkins. As I wrote in Waiver Wire last week, if Hawkins is dealt, I believe Ottavino will be the guy who gets the shot over Brothers. Because Brothers' walk rate's still nothing spectacular.
Angel Pagan nearing a rehab assignment. Scooter Jeanette expected to start tonight. Justin Morneau hopes to be activated Tuesday. He has a neck injury. Is Carl Crawford replacing Andre Ethier in the Dodgers lineup?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. Don Mattingly, you know, moved Yasiel Puig to center because he says he really wasn't happy with what he was getting out of center field, and Ethier was in that mix. So maybe Carl Crawford's supplanting Ethier.
And Eric Hosmer, unable to start all weekend due to a hand injury. Starter sit Hosmer.
I would sit him.
CJ Wilson expected to return this week. Changes to two-star pitchers for Week 18. Colorado's Johan Flande is now a two-star pitcher. Houston option Brad Peacock, so Oberholzer gets two starts. Kyle Gibson, two starts, and Phil Hughes, one. And Ian Kennedy was supposed to be a two-star pitcher. He no longer is. Vance Worley will get two starts, and Ruby De La Rosa could go two if Boston sticks with a four-man rotation. Let's take a look at the most out of most drop players.
Did you see that interesting comment on Felix Dubront, how he wants to start? And the Red Sox want to keep him in relief for now. And he's like saying, well, trade me then because I do want to start.
He wanted a trade, and so did Mike Karp.
Yeah.
Everybody wants out. Just John Lester might get traded, so that
yeah,
would,
and that's
that
for
would help DuBront.
Matt Kemp, apparently. That's the rumor going around.
Yeah. That'd be a lot to give up for a half a season of John Lester. But the Dodgers already helped the Red Sox win one World Series with stupidity. So.
Well, but the other thing is, if they give up Kemp, they have Jacques Peterson. And Jacques Peterson on any other team would be in the majors right now, making a huge impact.
You know, that's a guy that I think needs to be owned.
Jacques Peterson?
I think you got to get him now. Because within the next 3 days, before this non-waiver trade deadline, there's a good chance they move an outfielder.
Yes.
And the Dodgers. So Peterson.
And now's the time to bring him
someone to look at.
To give him meaningful at bats in the last 2 months if they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. All right. Most added, most dropped, Herc. We got Rutledge 1. We got Headley 2. Neftali Feliz 3. Mentioned last week that Ron Washington isn't sure about Feliz getting back to back save opportunities. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. Jorge De La Rosa 4. Coming off a fluky 11 strikeout performance. He's not a strikeout guy. Austin Jackson, 5. Chris Carter, 6. David Phelps has 2 starts this week at Texas and at Boston, number 7. What do you think about Phelps?
Yeah, Scott's a huge David Phelps fan. He sees, you know, and early in the season when he was having a good run when he first got in the rotation, he faced a lot of good teams, and that was the problem. He's got potential. Yeah, if he's on a 2-star week, you obviously, and especially as RP eligibility in points leagues, you take the flyer on him.
Brandon McCarthy right after him. So who would you rather own, Phelps or McCarthy?
I think longer term, McCarthy. I mean, he's just been rejuvenated since he came over to the AL.
Lucas Duda is 8. or I think that would be 9. Chris Johnson's 10. Jorge Soler, 11.
That's on Scott's very good column last week about how he thinks he could be up this season.
And Marcus Stroman, 12, up to 87% owned. Danny Salazar, 13th. Solarte, 14th. Vance Worley, 15th. I believe he's the two-star pitcher, as mentioned. Mm-hmm. Denard Span, 16th. And Span walked 4 times yesterday. He's been really good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Him and Ben Revere are kind of underrated in fantasy, but they're not spectacular. Like, they're not going to be the guys that, you know, you rely on every week, but they've been decent fantasy producers.
Yeah, well, Span in particular, he's a top 30 outfielder, and that's pretty surprising. He doesn't really do anything great. But and the fact his on-base percentage is usually terrible, but the fact that Denard Span walked 4 times yesterday, I'm just trying to look up the recent stats here. He's been walking more lately, and his OBP is a respectable 344. Sometimes it's in the 320s for a leadoff hitter, so that's really bad. But Revere, it really makes me crazy, Herc, that they sit him for Grady Sizemore
a lot. I know.
That's stupid.
They're just... disarray. I mean, you know, Ryan Howard did homer, I believe it was yesterday. But, you know, the thought of buying him out or him getting traded, it's crazy.
All right. I don't know if there's anything else. Liriano, DeGrom, McGee. Oh, Jake McGee. Jake McGee, I almost dropped C-Sheck for McGee. I was really close. McGee has been amazing. It's clear that he's going to get most, if not all, of the save chances. But here's the one thing, and I don't know if this is good reasoning or not. The Rays have won 9 in a row.
Yes. Oh, no, they lost yesterday. So
all right, 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
He's gotten so many opportunities. And I just, like, I know save chances, they can be very streaky. Just the opportunities to get save chances, you can never predict it. So I just feel like Jake McGee is due for fewer save chances. The Rays are probably going to lose. They're not going to go 9-1 in every 10-game stretch. I think they're a good team.
Sure.
They honestly might make the playoffs, might win the division. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they get – they're the hottest team in baseball the rest of the season. I picked them to win the American League. But, McGee, just because every 4 saves, he might not get one. He might get 3 out of 4.
Sure.
I decided it was too risky to drop a sure thing like C-Sheck. But I just think 61% is too low.
Well, in a few days, you may have the opportunity to drop C-Sheck, though. He's been one of the guys rumored to be traded.
That's true. And if I do?
Jake McGee.
You know who I'm picking up. All right, most dropless. Steve Pierce. Drop him?
I did. I dropped him for... Who was it? I can't remember who I dropped him for. It was a shallow league. It's our 12-team head-to-head points, and there's just too many good options. Oh, I have like 18 guys on the DL, so I needed like somebody like Jed Lowrie to fill in for Troy Tulowitzki, so I had to make that move. But yeah, I mean, I thought he was the real deal. I thought he was legit finally, and it looks like he may not be.
Joe Smith, second most drop. That makes sense. Edinson Volquez had another bad start. Carlos Martinez, back to the bullpen for now. Shane Green, people are... jumping ship on Shane Green. I'm not. Not yet, Herc. Not yet. What do you think?
I mean, when I didn't want to pick him up, so I'm all with the fantasy owners dropping him.
Well, then. Ryan Vogelsong. All right, Vogelsong actually looked into.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good at home, so bad on the road, and he gets no run support, so he never gets any wins.
Yeah.
But... most of his upcoming starts are on the road, so I do think you can drop Vogelsong.
Nice.
Without regretting.
Well done, Adam.
If they stay if he pitches every 5 games,
yeah,
most of them are going to be on the road in the next 4 weeks or so. Drew Hutchison, Michael Wacha, Matt Cain. Matt Cain droppable?
Yes, absolutely.
Dan Haren, good. He might lose his rotation spot soon as the Dodgers are looking for a starter.
Interesting.
I want Alan here so I can yell at him some more about Hyunjin Ryu. We're 17 weeks into the season, and Hyunjin Ryu is a pretty good strikeout pitcher now.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's happened. It exists.
You're talking to a Ryu sympathizer here, so.
He's a man. And Jonathan Neese is also on the most drop list. Are you worried about him?
No. I still think you should own Jonathan Neese, as well as Bartolo Colon.
Would you rather own Neese or Salazar?
Oh, man. I think the trend's been Danny Salazar. We'll go Danny Salazar.
All right, good. I'm glad you said that. All right, let's move on here. Talk about some struggling studs. Cliff Lee. How are you feeling about Cliff Lee right now?
Not very good. I thought I bought into Cliff Lee when he got on his rehab assignment. He was getting rocked. And he says, no, I'm fine. It's just the results. Everything feels all right. I'm good to go. You know, the Phillies really want to trade him, but he's coming off two bad starts. I mean, are other teams going to lowball the Phillies on, you know, hey, he's not the pitcher he was? He didn't pitch good on his rehab assignment. Hasn't pitched good since he's been back. I'm not the only one that has major concerns. I benched Cliff Lee in a 12-team head-to-head points league this week. That's how concerned I am.
I don't blame you, but would you make a buy low offer for him? I was thinking about offering Stroman for Cliff Lee. And there's no question right now I'm starting Stroman over Lee.
Yeah.
But I do worry about Stroman down the stretch.
Well, absolutely. He hasn't logged this many innings in his career.
Right.
I have no problem with that offer. And especially if Cliff Lee gets traded contender, that could just rejuvenate him. To me, he's going through his minor league season again.
Right. That was an important thing to know because they said he's building up his arm strength and he's not fully back. So I don't know how much I buy into that, but he seems like a decent buy-low candidate.
But what happens if he stays with the Phillies and they're just last
place
in the NL East?
Who cares? He's pitched for a bad Phillies team before and been just fine.
I don't know if the wins have been there when he's
pitched for a bad. Yeah, but he's still, even when the wins haven't been there, he's still been
he's
a must-start, awesome pitcher.
Sure. I'll give you that.
Mike Minor, on the other hand, that was one of the most interesting things that I came across this weekend. What he was saying after the game, he found a mechanical flaw, Mike Minor, but he admitted it's too late in the season for him to really fix it. So he says he thinks it's going to be a gradual thing. It's not like he can just go out there, next start, fix all of his mechanical flaws. And that concerns me, and he faced the Padres, and it was a quality start for Minor, but it wasn't really that good. He gave up 8 hits in 6 2/3, three runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. It was okay.
Yeah.
I would have liked better. And he gave up 2 home runs. That was what really bothered me. 2 home runs at San Diego. So Minor to me, like the fact that he doesn't think he's going to be able to get mechanically right for a while scares me.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know Kayla in our podcast league doesn't like when I talk about pitchers' confidences or hitters' confidence, but he's got no confidence right now, and that's a huge, you know, huge thing. And even in his previous start, remember I had mentioned that he said I was spotting the ball. I mean, when pitchers shouldn't do that, and he knows he shouldn't do that. And even Freddie Gonzalez said after his previous start that he was concerned. So you're not the only one, Adam Azer.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about some more guys who are struggling. Justin Verlander, 7 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. All right, remember he had those 2 starts in a row where Verlander gave up 7 earned runs. Since then, 3-3 with a 4.40 ERA in 45 innings. And 11 walks, 36 strikeouts. And I just feel like if that's who Verlander is, I think, I don't know why I was like thinking a lot about this on my weekend where I should be having fun. Instead, I was thinking about Justin Verlander. I should be thinking about his girlfriend, but I think he's droppable in a 10-team roto league. In a points league, he still pitches deep enough into games, and he's still going to get wins, and he'll probably get some quality starts, like by the letter of the law, 6 innings, 3 runs. So he's too good in that format. But in a roto league, Justin Verlander's whip is like 1.44 this year. And I don't think he's going to be a good whip guy, and I don't think he's got a good enough strikeout rate. So in a 10-team roto league, Herc, I think he's droppable.
Whatever 10-team roto league you're in, let me know so I can put in a waiver claim to pick up Justin.
I understand
Verlander.
He'd be picked up immediately.
Right.
But I just think this is who he is. I think he's like an average pitcher.
You know, you bring up a good point. Do you remember when Tim Lincecum went from elite to just average and we just refused to buy into it?
Yeah.
This is the same thing, right?
I bought into it for the simple reason that his fastball sucked.
Yeah.
And his breaking pitches, Lincecum's breaking pitches are better than Verlander's, in my opinion. I'm not a scout or anything, but just from watching the two. But Verlander obviously still has a better fastball, which is why he's a better pitcher than Lincecum. But, yeah, I mean, it's like it's been a lot of mediocrity for Justin Verlander for a while now, and I think this is who he is. Now, I understand I'm not a moron. I understand that you still want to stash him because he is Verlander, and maybe he turns it on like he did in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
But I think if you need to win right now, if you feel like you need to drop him.
I respect that opinion for the fact that, remember, I was the guy that said fantasy owners, I'm not a Matt Cain guy, and Matt Cain was in the same class as Justin Verlander.
Right.
And I just was like, listen, he's not that good anymore. So if you know you feel that way, then absolutely.
Alfredo Simon, Mark Burley, do you think they are droppable for like a Danny Salazar or or somebody like Jimmy Nelson.
Are we going with Simon or Simone?
Simon. All right. It is Simon.
It's Simon. Burley, yes. Simon, I'm especially in points league with the RP eligibility, I'm still a Simon fan.
Alex Wood has a 4.30 ERA over his last five starts. Any concerns?
He's still putting up fantasy points. Well, he's still getting it done for fantasy owners.
But not for Roto owners.
Yeah.
Okay. And what scares me is that Wood's faced the Mets, the Diamondbacks, the Cubs, the Phillies, and the Padres, and he's got a 4.30 ERA against those.
You're talking to the one guy out of the three analysts here that has him the lowest, and I have been very slow to move him up my rankings. Scott and Al just shot him up there because they love him so much. So, yeah, I'm with you. I've been hedging my bets with Alex Wood for a while, but I do think he still needs to be owned.
Matt Latos, 6 innings, 3 runs on 3 hits, 4 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Second time in 3 starts that Latos struck out a batter per inning, but only the second time in his 8 starts all season. So he's made 8 starts, and only twice has Latos K'd a batter per inning. Both of those came in the last 3 starts.
And just quickly, yesterday was interesting. He really only had 1 bad inning, and him and the umpire got into it. So.
Yeah, a couple close pitches didn't go his way. Kind of lost his focus. So you think he's still fine?
Yeah, I do.
Tim Lincecum, 4 1/3, 9 hits, 6 earned runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts against the Dodgers. Previous 15 starts, Lincecum was 8-5 with a 3.05 ERA. what do you make of this terrible start here?
Yeah, I mean, Scott White's been one of the people who've been like, and you too, you know, right? You've been the guy that's
I'm very anti-Lincecum.
Exactly. So, again, I mean, that was a good contending team, and he's going to face probably a lot of good contending teams coming up, so.
Would you rather have, would you rather have Lincecum or Jesse Hahn?
Jesse Hahn. And even though the thing with Hahn, though, is when are they going to shut him down? Mm-hmm. But the good thing for fantasy owners is that probably Hahn's still going to give you a lot of good production. And if you make it to the championship final, hopefully you have a good bench that you could go without Hahn if you needed to.
Lincecum or Shelby Miller?
I'm a Shelby Miller fan.
All right, a couple of pitchers bounce back over the weekend. Yordano Ventura. 6 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, 2 home runs allowed. Not really that good of a start, to be quite honest with you.
If you can trade him, trade him.
Yep. Previous 11 starts, previous 12 appearances with 11 starts in there, 4.55 ERA. So he's struggling. And Dallas Keuchel, 7 innings, 9 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts against Miami. And in Keuchel's previous 5 starts, 1-3 with a 6.07 ERA and gave up 48 hits in 29 2/3, so he was terrible. Only 17 strikeouts. This was the first really good start in a while for Keuchel.
Yeah, two things. I mean, the wrist problem, and I think he was due for a market correction because he wasn't going to pitch lights out like he was all season.
I just don't think he's a strikeout guy, really. I don't know that you can rely on him for that.
Sure, I agree with that.
He's 80% owned, so is he a guy that you can drop for like a Jock Peterson or some – or? You're not going to drop for Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I saw somebody drop him in an AL-only league, in an 8-team AL-only league. I'm going to pick him up, obviously, because I still believe in Keuchel. But, yeah, he's a mid-to-back rotation fantasy arm. You got a lot of good use out of him at the beginning of the season, but he's not an ace pitcher in fantasy.
Last 10 starts, he does have a 3.29 ERA, but 44 strikeouts and 65 2/3 for Keuchel. All right, Tarek, you see a bunch of lists there, fringy starting pitchers, probably 30 or 40 of them. So who are some guys that should be added or should be dropped that pitched over the weekend? Go ahead and scan.
Do you want to talk about Despaigne and how he finally had a bad start?
Yeah, sure. 51% owned, same amount as Jeff Locke and Edinson Volquez. So why don't you go ahead and rank Volquez, Locke, Despaigne?
I think I'll go Locke, Despaigne, and Volquez. Right. For the fact that Despaigne did have 5 good starts leading up to this one. And, we've been saying for a while that he wasn't that good of a pitcher. But that's to say he pitches in a pitcher's park, and it's not like he can't be useful down the stretch for fantasy owners. But don't be surprised by this stat line. I mean, we've been saying for a while that he walked 5 batters in that in his start, right? He walked 3. I'm sorry. So, yeah, I mean, and look, his strikeout-to-walk ratio for the season is still 20-16. So it's not like he's, you know, a fantastic pitcher. This was the pitcher they look like in the minors. They still love his stuff, but, yeah, he's not, you know, a must-own. 51%, I would say, is fair.
How about Gausman? Same amount of ownership.
I think Gausman needs to be owned because what did Showalter say yesterday? He moved Wei-Yin Shin back because you want to keep Gossman on rotation, on turn. So you know they believe in him. They're contending. That's a guy, and he's got RP eligibility in points leagues.
He does not strike guys out, though. I don't understand it. He's got the ability
he
to.
Does.
I hope that number goes up. But 35 strikeouts in 49 innings for Kevin Gossman. Gossman or DeGrom?
Gossman.
Okay, Gossman or Lincecum?
Gossman.
Let's go a little bit further. Next page, Herc.
All right. Let's see.
Anyone here stick out that we haven't spoken about?
You know, Joe Kelly is interesting for the fact that before he hurt his hamstring, he was, you know, emerging. Again, he was pretty good for fantasy owners last year, too. He was pitching well. He has the RP eligibility, obviously, in points leagues. But he hasn't really all been that great since he's come off the disabled list. And it's, again, is he a guy that maybe needs a few starts just for the fact that he had so much time off? Again, he's interesting for the fact that he's pitching on a contender. So when if the Cardinals ever get hot down the stretch, you know, maybe he's a guy that has sleeper potential. And he's fairly cheap add off waivers right now, just 44% owned.
You know what? He's not a bad pitcher. I mean,
yeah.
I think on this podcast last year and this year, we haven't given him enough credit. I know he's coming off a terrible start, but Kelly's knows how to pitch deep enough into games to get wins. And
would you say he's fair to call him Dylan G? He's the Cardinals' Dylan G? A guy that flies under the radar but gets it done for fantasy owners?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going to strike out more batters?
Kelly or G?
Yeah.
It's probably close.
Okay, deeper leagues here. Would you rather have Shoemaker or Helixson?
Shoemaker.
Would you rather have Helixson or Miguel Gonzalez? Who
I think
is
Miguel,
really on a nice roll here.
Miguel Gonzalez, for the fact that Helixson, I just don't know. You know, he's coming off the elbow injury, had a lot of time off, and I just don't, you know, he's not a hard thrower.
Would you rather have Shoemaker or Miguel Gonzalez?
Shoemaker.
More deep leagues. Hector Santiago, do we know if he's staying in the rotation?
Yeah, I don't know for sure yet.
C.J. Wilson coming back,
yeah.
So could be the end for it. I mean, it better be him instead of Shoemaker.
I would say it would be Hector Santiago, excuse me.
Brett Anderson, a couple good starts in a row here. Only struck out one in this start, but he struck out eight in his previous start. Alan Webster made his 2014 debut for the Red Sox. We talked about Hendricks. Jacob Turner's had a couple of decent ones. Tyler Matzek, Brad Hand. Anyone that you'd even consider looking at?
Anderson's a little bit intriguing because this last one was at home, but he still walked four batters and only struck out one, so I'm not over the moon about it. Hendricks, definitely, I think fantasy owners need to start paying attention and start adding him. Jacob Turner is intriguing from the point view that when he went to the bullpen and then he came back to the rotation, he said, I learned a lot about pitching while I was in the bullpen. So yeah. And the fact that he's won back-to-back starts for the first time in his career, coming out of the bullpen, maybe he did learn something. And don't forget, he was a really highly touted pitching prospect before the Tigers just brought him up way too soon. And I think he's still a young pitcher, so I think he's still just learning the game. And maybe he's finally reached that point in his career where he's ready to take a step in the right direction. Don't think he's a must-add yet. Don't think you should drop Tim Lincecum or anybody for him yet, but he's intriguing enough to keep tabs on.
Marlins 5.5 games out of the wild card.
Isn't that crazy?
Still have a fighter's chance.
Two games under .500.
Yeah, but they suck. They whooped up on the Astros. That was good. And in the bullpen, Casey Jansen had a good Sunday but a bad Saturday, and he's allowed 5 earned runs in 5 appearances since the All-Star break. K-Rod, 4 hits and 3 runs against the Mets Friday. Then he bounced back and got a save on Saturday, but he's been kind of rough lately.
Yeah.
So Jansen and K-Rod, you concerned about either guy?
Not really.
All right. More injuries, news, and notes. Edwin Jackson expected to make his next start. Zach Walters, Danny Espinosa, and Kevin Franzen getting some time at second base for Washington. That's a mess there. Neil Ramirez was sent to AAA to get some rest. So Rondon owners, you can breathe a sigh of relief if the Cubs ever get a save opportunity. Avisail Garcia is expected to play again this season. Look for September for Garcia. And Derek Holland could make a rehab start this weekend. And Toronto activated Nolan Reimold from the DL, and he's not bad.
Yeah,
when he's healthy.
And he's not going to play outfield for a little bit because he's maybe not 100%. So he's actually, and Adam Lind's supposed to be coming off the DL. So they're going to split time at first base.
Okay.
Or DH, excuse me.
Emails and tweets. Michael Olson asks, what are sim leagues?
That is, you needed Al Melchior here to explain the sim leagues. I know what they are. It's, you make a lineup and it's simulated on some stats, blah, blah, blah. But
yeah, you're more of a manager.
Any.
You set your lineup based on like lefty-righty splits, defense. Scott and Al love it. I think Scott and Al, it's their favorite fantasy league that they're in, I think. I haven't gotten into it. I'm kind of intimidated. My goal is to give it a shot next year.
I think you need to dedicate time to it.
Yeah, probably. So. Reggie from Charlotte. I need to drop two starting pitchers in a points league. 5 points for quality start. Drop two. Skaggs, Keuchel, Vogelsong, Nice, Gausman.
Well, this is a tough list, but I think I'll go with Skaggs and Vogelsong.
Yeah. And he says, which MLB team will need robot fans by the end of the season? Is that a reference I don't get?
Yeah. Didn't you see I believe it's Japan. They actually have robot fans.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I think Ziza did the story for us. One of the bloggers did. So,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Which team will need robot fans? Well, the Marlins have needed them for a while.
Actually, did you see, though, in the first half of the season, they had the second highest increase in fan attendance.
And still probably among the lowest fan attendance.
Probably.
Because
so
that's not much of an increase.
Yeah. But hey, that's how they fudge stats and everything. You know?
Yeah. No, I'm serious. I mean, I'm not just picking on them. They're not well attended.
What Twins, maybe?
Yeah, they'll probably need some robot fans. Mets?
Astros?
I don't know how they're drawing now. They got a lot of fun young players.
True.
Okay, Gary asks. First he says, hey, Johan, Logan, and Ricky. You'll never guess. It's Johan Pino, Logan Darnell, and Ricky Nolasco, all guys the Twins management would rather have us Twins fans pay to watch over Trevor May and Alex Meyer. I hope that sounded bitter. I guess they will need robot fans after all.
Well, see, and now here the Twins are an organization where they do have to worry about, what's it called, arbitration because they're a small market team.
We are in an 8-team AL-only 5x5, and we didn't know how to handle PV's trade, the NL. Because he pitched Tuesday for Boston and Sunday for San Francisco, we gave the team owner the option of having the stats for both starts, or we could backdate a transaction for the prior period and drop him before his Tuesday start. The owner chose to keep the stats for both starts for PV. Another owner is trying to stay in last place for the trade deadline pickups. He chose to go with an open roster spot for Yanhervis Solarte. Solarte was 0-1 on Monday as a Yankee, but had some stats and a tater for the Padres. Are we missing a really simple resolution to this problem of guys having stats in the AL and the NL in the same period?
Yes. Don't count them until they're in the NL the next week.
Yeah, I think you keep the stats for the period. I mean, if you're doing a weekly league, it's like... You play him for a week, and whatever he does in a week, that's what I would do. I would keep the weekly stats, and then he's off your team.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we're on the same page.
All right.
Max from Oxnard, California, 10-team NL-only Roto League. I own Hawkins and Mejia. I've been handcuffing Brothers to Hawkins, but he's killing me. Worth sashing Brothers or just drop him at this point?
Yeah, we don't know what the Rockies are really going to do because I think they'll go to committee approach because I don't think Brothers is ready for the closer's role. I think it would be Ottavino, maybe Belial's in there too, even though he's not having a great year.
And they're terrible.
Yeah. So are they really – how many save chances are there going to be? Yeah, if he's killing you or you need the roster spot, I would drop Brothers.
I wouldn't drop him until the trade deadline though. In an NL-only league?
Yeah. I mean, he was good in the closer's role last year, even with a bad walk rate.
And last one from Chris in Wichita. Dear Kane, Cole, and Cashner.
I know this one.
After dumping Cashner in a deal for Darvish and hearing of Cole's possible return, I'm ready to move on to life without Matt Kane. Should I drop Kane for Nelson, McCarthy, Shoemaker, or Liriano? 12-team head-to-head points with 30-man rosters.
What do you think I would say here?
I think you're going to say drop him for Nelson. But I'm going to say don't drop him for anyone.
Interesting. I would consider him right now because Brandon McCarthy is pitching well and Matt Shoemaker. Either one of those guys is fine with me.
But not Nelson? What's your beef with Nelson?
I mean, I guess I could see it. I think he's a rookie pitcher, and he's showing he's a rookie pitcher.
So is Gerrit Cole, and so is Zach Wheeler. They both finished the season very strong last year.
But to me, they were a different echelon of elite pitching prospects. Nelson was good.
Look what Nelson did in the minors.
Yeah, Nelson's good.
And he's had two starts in a row that you could – they weren't great, but you certainly worth starting.
My only thing is at this time of year, you really do have to pay attention to pitchers on contenders and wins being huge. And McCarthy and
– Why?
Well, in points leagues, you know, you get a lot of points. And then in roto leagues, you get the wins too.
But if you don't need wins, I mean –
He didn't say he didn't need wins.
Well, this is a points league anyway.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
The Brewers aren't a contender?
I mean, they've been not where they were at the beginning of the season.
But they bounced back.
They have bounced back. I could see it. I just don't know about Jimmy Nelson yet. Especially down the stretch with rookie pitchers. I mean, I know he's logged the innings, so I'm not overly concerned about him maybe wearing down as much. But we've never seen him how many rookie pitchers really step up to the challenge in a pennant race too?
Gerrit Cole. I mean, I think it happens.
It could happen.
Doesn't concern me.
Matt Shoemaker.
I feel like Matt Moore did.
Yeah, Matt Shoemaker's a rookie, but Matt Shoemaker's an old rookie. He's not a young rookie. So
didn't Matt Moore? I mean, I know he had a great playoff start. Didn't he have a great finish for the Rays?
Well, he only played a little bit, and they brought him up. I believe he started in relief. Well, in the playoffs, he pitched in relief too. But
when was the year? I always forget this with Matt Moore. Was it his second year when he had that ridiculous start against the Rangers in the playoffs?
Yeah, I thought it was.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, but
I'm not concerned about him pitching in a pennant race and buckling under the pressure or anything.
Yeah,
he's on a good team that's going to score runs for him, and. Nelson's been fine his last two outings. I don't know what your beef is with him.
I like Shoemaker better, and I like what Brandon McCarthy's done since he's...
Yeah, I like McCarthy, too. I like what he's done as well. The Brewers are a better team than the Yankees.
Any one of those three... I think the point we're trying to make here, though, is it's okay to drop Matt Cain for these kind of options. Okay. Even though you're not excited about dropping...
I said no, but that's fine. Yeah. I can't really argue with it. 30-man rosters... It's a deep league, and Kane's a little more valuable in a deeper league if he comes back. Okay, I want to look up Matt Cain's game log real quick and give this one stat. Matt Moore. One stat here. LaTroy Hawkins has 17 saves this year.
Okay.
9 of them came in April. 2 in May, 3 in June, 3 in July.
So if they really go to a committee, you really want to stay away from the Rockies.
Yeah, exactly. They do not have a good formula for save opportunities.
But you know what? And the thing is that we don't know if they're really going to get healthy again. I mean, they've been just hit hard by the injury bug this season, especially in their rotation.
They're always hit hard by the injury bug.
Yeah.
I can't figure out this Matt Moore thing, so hang on. We're getting there. Matt Moore. 2011, he made one start. 2012 was his rookie season. But 2011 was probably when he made that one. Yeah, okay. So that's what it was.
I was there when he pitched.
He made that one start, and it was incredible in 2011, as I recall. But I could be completely wrong. So anyway, go check it and verify independently. For Michael Hercombe, I'm Adam Azer, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. It'll be me and Big Al Melchior as Scott White's on vacation this week. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you Tuesday. When you won't straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince of Muka Maka 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 Maka. Pickle, pickle.